this evening, as we were doing the prayer time before and during the worship time, it just keeps like it feels like there's a theme going on tonight that that God is putting His finger on, and it's and it kind of goes in line with what I felt like God wanted me to preach this evening. And it the theme tonight was like it was like a call to battle, like that thing about marching around Jericho. And and I've been feeling like my what God wanted me to do is kind of remind us tonight that we actually are in a battle, and that sometimes we can easily become distracted. In fact, one of the pictures I had during the worship time was it was like God was, you know, like have you ever seen in a horse race, sometimes they put blinders on the horse, right? So he can't see to his left or to his right. Well, that's great for a horse, but when you're in a battle, you don't want blinders on. You want to be able to see what's on the side, on either side of you. And I almost had this picture of God kind of going through the room, and he was knocking blinders off of people. And he was wanting to remind us to open our eyes and to be aware of where we are and what we're actually in the middle of. Because, they say ignorance is bliss, right? Well, that's maybe true, but it's probably not true when you're in a battle. When in your battle, you want to know where you are, what you're doing, where you're going. You want to keep your eyes focused on what's going on around you, because in a battle, if you're not looking where you're going, if you're not aware of your surroundings, of your circumstances, there's a really good chance you're not going to survive. And this morning, as I've been preparing this week, thinking about what I was going to share with you, I felt like God brought me to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. We'll read that in just a minute. But before I was here in South Africa, I was in business. And I had a mentor who was like this kind of larger-than-life, this guy. His name is Bob Wolf. And he was a very, very successful salesman. And I remember I went to Bob once and I said, Bob, you know, like I've been doing this for a while and I've kind of hit a slump. Like I can't seem to get my sales going again, and I don't know what to do. And I you have those times in your life where someone gives you a piece of advice or they say something to you and it sticks with you. You know, like my mom was one of those. My mom was like a New York Italian. If you've ever watched Seinfeld, that's my mom. She's like a New York Italian, and she always had like sayings. You know, like my mom would say, "Waste not, want not," or she had all kinds of funny sayings. But Bob also did. And there's so many times where I can hear Bob's voice ringing in my ear. And one time, I said, "Bob, I don't know what to do." And he looked at me square in the eye, and he said, "You did it once, you can do it again." And it's one of those moments where you're like, oh yeah, I've done this before. I know what to do. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you go back and did the thing that you did before to get you the desired result, then if you go back and do that again, you should get the desired result, right? And I almost feel like God wants to kind of remind us tonight, for some of us who have maybe, we've kind of forgotten what we've been called into. He wants to remind us what He's called us into. He wants to remind us what He has made us for. And He wants to remind us about where we're going. And so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. And he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize?" Now, some of you may look at me and say, "That doesn't look like a runner's body." And I would say to you, "You're really mean." But I want to ask, how many of you guys have run a marathon? Let's see. So, look, stand up if you've run a marathon. Stand up if you run a marathon. Okay, now, stay standing. Now, stay standing if you've run two marathons. No, I'm talking about full marathons. So two. How many marathons have you run? Two. And how many have you run? Four. So we have a winner. I've run two marathons in my life. Well, I say I ran the L.A. Marathon and I completed the New York Marathon. So that means I didn't do as much running the second time around. I was a lot older. But so what Paul is doing is he's addressing the Corinthians here, and the Corinthians Corinthians, like Corinth was an isthmus. It's like a narrow strip of land, and it had harbors or ports on either side. And it became a kind of a commercial trade route where it was easier for them, rather than go around, it'd be easier just to trade through Corinth. So what that did was it created a culture there, it was like a commercial area. And that brought lots of money and traders and lots of different kind of cultural things that came with having that trade route, that commercial area. But one of the other things about Corinth is that they had these, they were called the Isthmian Games. And they were kind of similar to to the Olympics. Every 2 years, they had these sort of Olympic Games that were held in Corinth. They were a big deal. Now, I remember it was 2010, you guys had the World Cup come. And the World Cup's coming to South Africa, to Cape Town, so they build this giant stadium there. It's a big deal. And so in Corinth, it was a big deal that they hosted these games every 2 years. So when Paul begins to talk to Corinthians, he begins to talk to them in a language or with examples that they'll understand. They understand athletic competition because they host it every couple of years. And so he says, don't you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? And so they would know that. They would have watched these games. They would understand this. He says, so run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So Paul is kind of saying, hey, listen, we're all in a race. It's like we're all in a race. It's like we've all been called to run. He says, so if you're going to run, run so you can win. Don't run so sometimes we see people go out for a park run. And they go to the park run, but they don't actually run. They kind of walk the park run. But Paul's saying, don't do that. He says, if you're going to be in the race, run so you can win. So I want to break this portion of Scripture down. And I want to just talk about a few things that I'm picking up in here. And so the first thing I see Paul says, he's saying it to them, so they couldn't, he wants them he wants them to be sharp. He wants them to be effective. He wants them to get to the finish line and get their reward. He says, they run for a perishable crown, but we're running for an imperishable crown. That means it'll never go away. We'll never lose it. We're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And so the first thing he says is, in verse 26, he says, I do not run aimlessly. See, Paul's saying that we run, that we as believers, as Christians, we run with a purpose. We are set on a course. We're not just wandering around from Sunday to Sunday. We're not just wandering around from community to community. We're not just wandering around from church to church. From popular Christian thought to popular Christian thought. He's actually saying, hey, we're on a course. We don't run aimlessly. We run with purpose. Jeremiah 6:16. I love this portion of Scripture. It says, thus says the Lord. Excuse me. He He says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I will set a watchman over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my word. And as for my law, they have rejected it. Paul is saying, hey, listen, we have got to realize that God has called us to go somewhere and do something. He says, I don't walk aimlessly, I walk on purpose. I live on purpose. I wake up every day on purpose. I'm not just trying to get to the finish line. I'm doing it with a purpose. And how many of you know that if you are in a race and you're going on, if you're competing for the prize, you have to stay on course. You can't set your own course. You have to stay on course, or you're not going to get the prize. We don't run aimlessly. We ask God, what course have you set me on? When was the last time you sat down and asked God, am I on the right course? When was the last time you really sat and asked God, hey God, am I doing what you want me to be doing? Am I being obedient to what you've called me to be obedient to? Or are you wanting to call me into more? Are you wanting to call me into something greater than what I'm walking in? When was the last time you sat down and really prayed and really asked God? You know, a lot of us will spend time in God's presence and we'll spend that whole time giving God our kind of like our shopping list. And I'm not just talking about asking God for things, but there's sometimes we just want to ask God like, hey, will you do this for me? Will you do that for me? Will you help me here? Will you help me there? And we forget to take time to sit back and say, hey, God, am I on the course that you want me on? Am I being obedient to you? Am I running as hard as I used to run? Or have I allowed myself to fall back? Have I allowed myself to slow down? Have I allowed myself to forget? You know, the Bible says that we're called to lay hold of that for which we've been laid hold of. You know, God called you with purpose in mind. It says he chose us in him before the foundations of the earth to be holy and blameless before him. God's called us with a purpose. When was the last time you sat down and said, God, am I on the course that you've set out for me? God, am I doing what you've called me to do? Paul's saying we don't run aimlessly. It says back in Jeremiah 6:16, I stand at the crossroads. Another version says, I stand at the crossroads and I ask for the ancient paths. I stand at a crossroads and I say, God, where are you leading me to? Where do you want me to be? Now to qualify that, we ask those questions in submission to leadership. So we ask that question and say, God, I want you to lead me, but also we realize that God has placed us in a place where there's authority in our lives, and we take that word, and so say, maybe you're sitting in your prayer time, and all of a sudden you say, hey God, you hear God say, hey, I want you to go and help plant a church in Mozambique. And you say, okay, I feel like that. We receive those things in submission to leadership, but we got to be asking God that question, because too often what we do is we sit around and we never do anything for God because we think we can't do anything for God. So like if you look at me and you say, hey, you know, I remember I was about 20, 25 years old, 26 years old, and I was a youth leader for middle school age children, and I was invited to help lead a outreach to East Germany. And so I didn't, you know, I think I was like maybe a part-time or like a really, I didn't make any money as a youth leader. And I decided, you know, I was asked to help lead this team. And I decided, okay, I'm going to raise the funds so I can go on this outreach. And so one of my really good friends had just run the LA Marathon. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll run the LA Marathon and I'll raise money to take this outreach. I'll get people to like sponsor me and help me do that. So I remember going to my mentor at the time, my pastor at the time, and said, hey, I'm going to run this marathon to raise money. He goes, there's no way, you'll never do it. I wasn't a runner. I didn't own running shoes. I could probably run about a quarter of a mile, maybe a couple of blocks at that time. And it's like, I thought, and he said, there's just no way you're going to do it. So you could look at me and say, hey, this isn't a runner's body. You look at Tyler, who's leading worship. He's got a runner's body, but you haven't run any marathons though, have you? And you may look at yourself and say, hey, I don't know what God can do with me. I don't know what God can do through me. But the reality is God uses the most unlikely people to do insane things. And it's when we'll say to God, what do you want to do with me? What do you want to do through me? It's when we'll say, God, here I am. Use me. That God will begin to reveal to you opportunities. You may not go plant a church in another country. You may not scale mountains. But God may say to you, hey, you know what I want you to do? There's a guy at your office, and he doesn't know me. I want you to lead him to Jesus, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And we think, that's not grand, and you're not going to get your face on any magazine covers because you led one guy to Jesus. But we just don't know what God's going to do through that guy. But it's our willingness to say, man, I don't want to run aimlessly, God. I want to run with purpose. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be useful to you, God. One of the famous evangelists said, I'm changing your pocket, God. Spend me the way you want to. So that's the first thing I notice is that we don't run aimlessly. Second thing I notice is that we run when you're going to run a marathon, how do you train to run a marathon? Any ideas? Any thoughts? What do you do? Oh, you have to run. That's pretty smart. So if you're gonna be like a bodybuilder, like how would you train for that? Do you go out and run? No. What do? You lift weights. These are not difficult questions. These are not trick questions. I'm not trying to make it hard on you. It's really easy. So when we want to accomplish something, we learn how to do sports-specific training. So like if I want to be a baseball player, I'm going to practice hitting baseballs all the time. Practice catching baseballs. Practice running around bases. Sorry, I can't use cricket examples because I don't understand cricket. I don't understand anyone who watches cricket or why they watch cricket. It doesn't make any sense to me. It just, like, I mean, looks like a perfectly fine waste of a long day, but not my thing. But we learn how to train in a way that is effective for what God's called us to do. So you may be sitting there saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? God says, hey, I want you to share your faith with people. So you learn how to train that way. What do? You study. You study, how do I share my faith? Maybe you sit down with an evangelist. You listen to. So we just had Jonathan Conrath here the last couple weeks ago, and he had training. So you train in that way. In Jeremiah 12:5, it says, "If you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan?" See, if you're called to run and you don't run, you're not going to be able to run. If you've been called to box and you don't box, you're not going to be able to box. And God's going to call us to all, God's going to use us in different ways. We're all different parts of the body. We all have different functions. He's going to use us in different ways. And if we don't train ourselves, if we don't do sports-specific training or ministry-specific training or believer-specific training, then God can't use us that way. So you're going to sit down and you're going to say, okay, God, what do you want? What's my lane? What lane am I in? Some of you ladies, your lane is you're going to like bake cookies for someone in your neighborhood. That's your lane. And then you're going to go to that neighbor who doesn't know Jesus. You're going to go to that neighbor who doesn't go to church. You're going to go to that neighbor who maybe their life is falling apart. Maybe their marriage is falling apart. Maybe their children are out of control. Maybe they're having it. And you're going to bake cookies. And you're going to go and you're just going to say, hey, I baked some cookies. Can we sit and have a cup of coffee? And God's going to use your little baking skill as a doorway into actually having an opportunity to have massive impact in someone's life. And it seems like a small thing if you're like looking at the Reinhard Bonnke, the massive evangelist, the Billy Graham, those guys up on a stage leading millions. It seems like a small thing, but it isn't a small thing to that neighbor who you're going to minister to. It isn't a small thing when you bring Jesus to someone who is dying for Jesus, who needs Jesus. It's not a small thing. When we make ourselves available to God to use us in a way that he wants to use us, it's not a small thing. It's like that story about the little boy on the beach with all the starfish. And he's out there with his grandfather, and there's just hundreds of starfish washed up on the beach, and they're all going to die there because they're going to dry out. And the little boy takes the starfish, and he starts to throw starfish in there. And his grandfather says, hey, listen, you're wasting your time. You can't save all these starfish. What you're doing isn't going to make a difference. And the little boy says, it'll make a difference to this one. This starfish, I can save this one. What if you're not called to preach to nations? What if you're not called to go and win nations? But what if you're called to win the one? To win the two? To win the three? I'm telling you, it'll matter to those ones. How many of us are sitting here tonight because someone reached out for the one, and that one was you? I am. I'm sitting here tonight because someone reached for me. You're sitting here tonight most likely because someone reached for you. What if your call is to reach that one, maybe one at a time? Maybe you'll reach more than one, but maybe one at a time you begin to reach him. And he wants to use what is specific to you, what is special about you to do that. Because you can reach people that I can't reach. And hopefully I'll reach people that you don't reach. So we train for the call of God. We train because God tells us to go and make disciples. He tells us to do the work of an evangelist. He tells us to reach for the lost. He tells us to love our neighbor. He tells us we train for those things. The third thing I picked up out of there is he says, "I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. I discipline my body." Paul is talking about self-discipline. I discipline my body. I'll tell you, when I've trained to run a marathon, or when I've done any kind of like athletic, anything athletic, and I'm not a super athletic person, but I do my best. I don't look like it. I've had to stop working out because I've hurt my shoulder. But it's self-discipline. When you're training for something like that, those of you who've run marathons, there'll be a Saturday morning, right, where you get up and you've got to go out and run 10 miles all by yourself. No one's going to run it for you. No one can do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. And the reality is that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. He says, rather train yourself for the purpose of godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, it's not no value, it's of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It's important that we train ourselves. If we wait around for someone else to do it for us, if this is the only input you get this week, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to be, it would be like someone who wants to be a bodybuilder and they go to the gym once a week. I've done that. You like get in certain, like, you kind of like get out of the rhythm and you go once, and you know what? It's actually really, really painful. Because you go and you like, you know, like the worst thing to do for me is to get to the gym and it's a squat day. Has anyone ever gone back to the gym for the first time and it was a squat day? You did legs first. Never mind if it's the first day, but you go back and you do legs. Anybody ever done legs when you hadn't been working out? It doesn't hurt then. It's the next day. And then the next day. It's day two that's really... So, and the worst part of it is... Well, I mean, like, it's arguable whether the worst part is stairs or the toilet. I think it's a toilet. Because stairs, you can kind of hold on to something, but the toilet, you know, it's just a hard landing. I mean, that's all I can say. But we have to. But so, like, if this is it for you, if this is your spiritual input for the week, if this is the totality of your input for the week, I'm telling you, it's not going to be enough. Paul says we've got to train. Paul's telling Timothy, you've got to train yourself. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to put in the time yourself. So we go back, we sit with God and we say, God, what have you called me to? What do you want me to do? What's the course that you want me on? And then we realize, okay, God's called me to do this. This is what I need to do. And then we have to train ourselves for what God has called us to do. We can't sit idly around and hope for something to happen. Things don't happen by themselves. It's when we apply ourselves to what God has called us to do. When we apply ourselves with how God is leading us. And we say, okay, God, you've given me the baking ministry. I'm going to go bake cookies for my neighbor. But at the same time, I don't want to just go and sit around and have coffee. I want to be able to like share the gospel with that person. Because ultimately, I think that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to go and reach my lost neighbors. So if I'm going to do that, I've got to understand how to, what? Share the gospel, right? And, you know, coming to church is great. And hearing sermons is great. But at some point, you're going to have to be able to communicate that in a way that's effective and powerful and useful. Yes, the Holy Spirit will help you in that moment. But preparation is powerful. See, I've got notes. I'm not just talking off. I didn't just come here tonight to talk to you and like think, I'll just talk about whatever comes to mind. No, I prepared something. Because I want it to be effective. I want it to be powerful. I want it to be transformative. I want you to walk away saying, okay, I've learned something and I'm able to make an adjustment because someone prepared something. And when God calls us into something, when he calls us, he brings us into
His plan and His purpose, He also calls us to prepare ourselves. He also calls us to apply ourselves. He also calls us to study, to show us, to show ourselves approved. He calls us to be useful in His hands. And to be useful, we apply ourselves. It's great to want to be used by God. That's really nice. So the Bible says when you talk about, like when we talk about elders and leaders, and it says it's a noble thing to aspire to the office of an elder. And some of you may be sitting here today and thinking, yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to be an elder. I'd like to be an elder. That'd be cool. You know, I want to be used by God. I want to help lead. I mean, it's not about my ego, but man, I want to be useful to God. I want to help lead. I want to do it. And that's a noble desire. And it's a good thing, but it can't stop with the desire. It can't be, it's not enough to say, I want to do something. You actually have to prepare yourself for it. And yes, is there an anointing? Is there a calling? Is there something that God places upon us? Absolutely. But it doesn't stop with anointing. It's what are you preparing yourself for? What are you working toward? See, I see people with talent all the time. I see people with a calling all the time. I see people with an anointing all the time. But often, the person, that talented, called, anointed person is actually not useful because they haven't prepared themselves. They may have a gift, but they haven't prepared themselves to do what God's called them to do. And to me, you know what? I will take a prepared person over a talented person most days of the week. Because someone who's prepared themselves, someone who's worked hard, someone who's applied themselves is going to be useful to me. A talented person, I mean, they might look good. And then they might have some impact. But a hardworking person, a person who said, I don't just want it, but I'll work for it. That's someone I can use. That's someone that's useful. And I believe God looks at us the same way. He gives us all talents. Everybody here, God's giving you a gift and He's giving you a talent. But the question is, what are you doing with it? Are you applying yourself to that area? Or are you just sitting back waiting for the elders to say, okay, it's your turn? Man, when I'm looking, I lead a congregation in Sunningdale, and I'm looking in like, I'm always looking for leaders. That's like the beat, that's what I think about all the time. How can we raise up more leaders? Because I know if we release leaders, that people will follow. So I'm always looking, but I'm always looking for who's the guy that's already doing the job? Who's the guy that's studying the word so he can know the word, so he can preach the word? Who's the guy that knows the name of everybody in the congregation? Who's the guy that's out there loving and serving and discipling guys? Who's the guy that's applying himself? He doesn't just have a gift or a call, but he's actually applying himself. That's the guy I'm looking for. And I believe that that's what God is looking for in us. You know, when God anointed David king, he looked at a kid who had been shepherding already. God was looking for someone to shepherd his people, and David was a shepherd boy. God was looking for someone to care for, to watch over, to protect, to fight for his people. And David was out there fighting lions and bears to protect his sheep. And you look at someone like that and you think, man, if that guy will fight a lion or a bear to protect his sheep, imagine what he'll do for God's people. Imagine what he'll do for his people. It's nice to want to be a leader. It's nice to want to serve God. Man, you got to do something about it. We can't sit back and think, man, I hope it happens, or I wish it would happen, or why hasn't it happened? But have you sat in God's presence and said, God, what do you need me to do so I can be useful to you? And then taking that and actually doing something with it. Not just wishful thinking. Paul's talking about maintaining or control in our life, being under control. He says, I'm not one who is beating the air and boxing at the air. You know, they would have understood that example, because in that era, that time, there would have been people who were forced to compete in like a boxing match as a sort of a form of punishment. And they would not be skilled boxers. They would just be people like if Robbie and I had to box right now. I'm not saying that Robbie, I think he probably would win. But what I'm trying to tell you is that because we're not trained boxers, are you? Because we're not trained boxers, it wouldn't look very good. You guys would probably look away. It'd probably turn into like a slap fight, like between two girls. But Paul's saying to them, he's like, I'm not like one that just like swings around. I'm precise. I know what I'm doing. I'm under control. We're ready. Yeah, the eye of the tiger. And then he finishes with, and I'm going to finish soon here. And he finishes with, he says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So we want to be used by God. We want to be prepared for it. We want to be useful to it. We want to step into what God has for it. And Paul says, I discipline myself lest after preaching to someone else, I might be disqualified. We need to be the kind of people that have actual integrity and credibility. Matthew 23, verse 27, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, it's interesting to me that Jesus saves his rebukes for hypocrites. He's not generally rebuking people outside of religion or outside of the church. He saves his rebukes for people inside the church because they aren't the real deal. And Paul is saying here, we've got to be the real deal. If we want to be used by God, even with the baking cookies and bring them to a neighbor. Man, you can go and bring your cookies and you've practiced, you've learned how to share the gospel with that person. You've disciplined yourself with the understanding and knowing how to, and you go and you share and that, you know, the person, but they see your life and they say, but wait a minute, your life doesn't match. Your life, it doesn't match what you're talking about. And that's what Paul's saying. He's like, I discipline myself because I don't want to preach to someone and then have them look at my life and saying, no, but you're fake. You're phony. You're not the real thing. God forbid that we be the kind of people that, man, we do things for God. We do things for God. But we're not the real deal. But they look at us and they say, the message is this, but the message is this. We've got to be the kind of people that say, man, God, I want to do what you've called me to do, but I also want to be who you called me to be. And God is calling you. I just feel like God wants to remind us tonight. Man, this is not a Sunday to Sunday kind of thing. This is a not, I used to do this. I used to do that. This is, man, I am sold out for the King and the Kingdom. I am going to run as hard and as fast as I possibly can to fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. He's called us as men and women of God to carry his kingdom. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He's called us to be the ones that go and make disciples. But he wants to remind us tonight, like that picture of like him knocking blinders off of us. How many of us have forgotten why we're here? Why we're doing what we're doing? God wants to remind you tonight. God wants to remind you. Hey, we're called into something.